This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. This is the Buffalo Sabres postgame show, live from KeyBank Center. Here's your host, Brian Cozio.
Three-one the final. Kings on a night they had no business winning. Get 2 points and beat the Sabres. We welcome you here to the press box and the postgame. Brian Cozio here with you along the Buffalo Sabres radio network. Well, this one definitely looked different and felt different from the two games in Prague in which the Sabres didn't maybe seem to have their best energy, didn't seem to bring it right away to start the game. I would say it was definitely the opposite tonight. However, it's a results-oriented business, and in sports, it's the scoreboard that matters. And ultimately, the Sabres still have just as many goals on the board as they did in both of those games in Prague. One again. And that is a 3-1 loss. Pat Molacaro here with me as well. We'll go down to the locker room with Paul Hamilton shortly. Pat, I don't really have much negative in terms of what my eyes saw the Sabres do tonight. But ultimately, in hockey, you have to score, and they did not.
And you have to convert on your power play chances. That's one thing, a glaring issue for this team that held them back last year, and it starts out the season the same way kind of last year played out in terms of special teams. You get an early power play goal when you have all those chances in the opening period, convert on a 5-on-3. I know the Kings, it's only 5-on-4, but essentially it was a 5-on-3 goal,
yep,
which was the game winner with Krebs coming out of the penalty box and not back in the play yet. The Kings convert, and that's the difference in the game tonight.
Absolutely. They converted the few opportunities they had. The Sabres, which had tons of opportunities, they out a shot attempt the Kings 76-44. I mean, that is a wide margin. So that kind of tells the story of what the offensive sides look like. But, I mean, we kind of almost had this feeling after 20 minutes. The 5-on-3 for over a minute, you can't score. The penalty shot, you can't score. Two of your most highly paid players are on the doorstep, Thompson and Cousins. They cannot convert. A wraparound from McLeod that somehow doesn't go in. So, I mean, there were telltale signs in the first period when we chatted after 20 minutes that maybe, is that going to come back and bite him? Well, it did.
And even after all that, it's a 1-1 game. You hit another post. And I know it's going to happen throughout the course of a season, but at some point, the posts have to be goals. And it just, for whatever reason, the Sabres just are continually in this cycle, no matter who is on the ice, who's coaching the team, no matter what. You don't score there. And Bowen Byram's the one that hits the post on a nice pass from Quinn, and it's another missed opportunity. So the chances were still there.
Yeah, and previously, remember, before the Byram post, there was a Thompson post,
right,
and he hit a shot.
So right. So
there was another opportunity.
Multiple chances when the game's 1-1 to take the momentum, re-seize the game from L.A., and it's the Kings in Kopitar with the natural hat trick that eventually is the difference in the game.
And fans are going to be upset with maybe the call at the end on Zucker
And after seeing the replays, I can understand maybe why they're upset about it. What looked like maybe it was going to be called an elbow right away then turned into a rough, which ultimately, in slow motion, maybe looked like it wasn't. But then the slash from Samuelson clearly was. But now it's 5-on-3. And, you know, also, the Kings had a 5-on-3 for 28 seconds. They essentially convert because it was a 5-on-3 situation in the room. All right, down to the room we go. Alex Tuck, live with Paul Hamilton.
Kemper played well. They played pretty well defensively in front of them, but we got a lot of opportunities, a lot of great A's. And to win games, a lot of times you're going to have to score more than one of those.
Feel you guys got to your identity to generate those chances?
Yeah, I think we did a little bit better job, I think, leading up until we gave up a soft goal in the third, and then we started playing a little bit on our heels and didn't get back to our game nearly enough. And shift after shift, we were in the first couple periods. So, disappointing is an understatement, but you know what? I mean, it's a good first 40, but we have to be able to play 60 to win in this league.
The power play, you guys need to shoot. Alex, is that one of the things that's missing, do you think, just overhandling the puck?
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna take a look at that, watch the video. We're just bearing down, spending some of those opportunities. We still had some great A's. We still, like you said, overhandled it maybe a couple times. Weren't able to pick our spots a couple other times, but got some chances. I mean, that's a lot of time, more time than we've got on the power play in the last couple games, and better looks, but still not good enough.
Team getting scoring slumps. I mean, how different is it if this was the middle of February as opposed to this problem in the first three games of the season? How much more do you guys squeeze the sticks right off the top here with this happening?
Well, the difference is we have 79 games to make it right instead of 30 in February, 20 in February, where you're really gripping your sticks because you're 2 points out or 2 points in. And right now, I mean, we're still three games in. I know we have 0 points, but it's and we would love all those 6 points, but we're not going to be gripping our sticks in here. We're not going to be going downhill like that. We're going to be ready to go come Saturday, and we're going to be getting 2 points.
How much was the first 40 minutes kind of the pace and just the energy level you guys are trying to get to and need to be at?
Yeah, it's a step in the right direction. Wasn't enough, though.
Alex, how can you get over the hump from the posts and the missed nets, and but you have great opportunities but can't capitalize? How can you get over that hump?
Just keep pushing, working in practice, dialing it in a little bit. Sometimes it's puck luck, but usually you make your own puck luck. So, just bearing down on certain opportunities and just bearing them.
What did you see on your goal to be able to get that turnover?
Just coming off his weak side there, I thought that it was a good opportunity to jump him around the red line. And then I got a lot of time, obviously, so I was able to even get a rebound, luckily, because first one definitely wasn't going in right in his glove, so got lucky there.
Do you shake your head a little at the puck luck when you see what happens at the end of the first period? When you make a great play as a team with a second and a half to go and just after the long?
You know what, honestly, I thought that was really good momentum. Like score or not score, I thought that was really good momentum. We were playing really well. We were stepping on their throats, and it was good to be able to roll into the second period where we did the same exact thing, honestly, for almost a full 40. So, that's a little puck luck too. But maybe Benny's got to shoot a little bit harder.
What's the feeling like when you guys hit a lot of posts tonight? Kemper obviously played great, but what's the feeling?
I mean, it can be frustrating at times, and I really didn't see the frustration. I thought guys were just jumping over the boards and getting ready to go for the next shift, and we were playing good team hockey, and we were doing the right things out there. So if a guy missed a chance, he knew he was going to get another one, and he wanted to bear down on the next one, but obviously it didn't happen tonight. But we're going to have to keep pushing. 79 games left, so we're worried about game number 4 now.
Thanks, Alex Tuck on the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, Alex Tuck there getting his first of the season late in the second, shorthanded as he followed up his own shot on a breakaway. Did make a nice play to jump in, force the turnover, and as he said, he had time walking in there as Buffalo got the goal there. Take a 1-0 lead into the third. That's when the Kings scored three times to go 3-1 victorious. Down to the room, Rasmus Dahlin live.
Thanks, Brian. Rasmus, how can you guys start getting pucks into the net instead of posts, missed nets, missed opportunities? You certainly had enough opportunities to win that hockey game.
Yeah, work on it tomorrow. We got to take advantage of our chances. We should not score one goal that game. Yeah, it's on us. We got to work on our scoring.
Strauss was on the play on Kopitar's first goal. Was that a miscommunication or what happened there?
No. I mean, I made a bad play. He came down in the middle, and Kopitar doesn't miss those chances, so we got to clean that up.
You guys did create a lot. Just what was different? What allowed you guys to create so much?
You know, we are a skilled team. We are talented. We create a lot, but it doesn't matter if you don't score. So, you know, we just got to continue to do it. Eventually, it will start going in, and the guys will start feeling a little more confident with the goal scoring and stuff. So we just got to keep going.
What made the first two periods probably your best two periods of the season so far?
Taking steps every day, work on things. You know, that's how we want to play. And like I said, the game could have looked very differently if we got the puck into the net, because we played really well two periods, and then you know, they got some momentum in the third.
Power play didn't score tonight, but it feel like you got more of a groove.
Yeah, taking steps there too. You know, same there. Had tons of chances. Keep going to work tomorrow. Keep grinding, man. It's no other way.
The penalty kill seemed to provide a jolt of energy for the team, and then eventually got you the goal. What did you think about today?
Penalty kill was really good. Put a lot of pressure. We played hard. We did the right things, and then, you know, that was a great shot on the 5-on-3 from Kopitar. But I think we played really well in the PK.
Thanks, Rasmus. Rasmus Dahlin in the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, Rasmus Dahlin there, pretty much saying exactly what I think we're all saying. They've got a score, and says, quote, "We need to work on our scoring." I don't think the debate here, Pat, of being confused about what happened here tonight, they had to figure out a way to put the puck in the net. All right, well, more in a minute. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen with Paul.
Okay, you guys didn't give up much, but unfortunately you couldn't score at the other end with a lot of opportunities. How did you view that game as it played out in front of you?
I think we played well. You know, the guys fought hard in front of me. You know, it's, you know, can you know, do anything about, like, the scoring. And, you know, that's how it goes. Sometimes I think they played, especially two first periods, where they played really well. We didn't give up much, and you know, we were blocking shots and everything. So, you know, it's unfortunate, really unfortunate that the game went this way.
Does it get even more frustrating when the game's right there for you and you guys can't capitalize on it?
Yeah, yeah, of course. But, you know, as I said, it's something I can't think about. I think, you know, it's sometimes it doesn't go your way, and then today, but you know, I can't focus on that. I think just trying to make that one extra save is the biggest thing for me. I think their goalie played really well today, and you know, maybe one save here and there, we could have went to the overtime or something. So that's the only thing I'm kind of trying to focus on, and you know, the scoring will come.
And the second goal, could you even see him wind up? It didn't look like you saw it at all.
Yeah, I was kind of chasing the play there. You know, I have to see it in the video and see what I have to do differently. They made a good play. It was a good shot, but, you know, it was a good play by them.
What do you see from the penalty kill in front of you? Other than, obviously, you know, the 5-on-3, but before that, it seemed like it was working pretty well.
No, I think they did an awesome job. As I said, it was a good game. In front of me, we were really, you know, active on penalty kill. We didn't give them much. We were all over it. I feel like they were kind of struggling against it. We did a really good job with it until, you know, we gave up the 5-on-3. But, you know, I think there was, you know, a lot of positives too on a penalty kill.
Some of the best thing you saw defensively is clearing the rebounds. It seemed like you only had to see one shot. You didn't see too many secondary shots. It seemed like your guys were getting rid of the puck rather well.
Yeah, I think the, like, compete net front battles, especially in our end, like, it's all there. We, you know, if there's a rebound, the guys are clearing it up, they're boxing guys out. Defense have been playing really solid in front of me, so as I said, you know, I hope the scoring will come. It's not in my control, but I feel like, you know, defensive end, we've been doing really, really good job in front of me.
Thanks, Ukko. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Thank you. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen in the Nets faced 22 shots. I'm sorry, he actually only faced 20 shots because two were into the empty net. And the Kings, one was into the empty net. I'll start over again. Luukkonen faced 21 shots, yes, 19 saves. Then the last shot went into the empty net. Pat Rasmus-Dahlin said, we need to work on scoring. I think that sums it up.
Yeah, and I like Alex Tuch said too, like a lot of times you make your own luck and you talk about puck luck and all these different things. Well, sometimes you've got to create it yourself. And there are times where it just feels like it's not going to go your way, but you've got to create those opportunities and continue to, you know, convert on them. It's, again, you look back over the course of this game, whether it's a 5-on-3, a penalty shot, this or that, opportunities were to be had throughout the course of the game. Also, by contrast, let's give the Kings credit. They allowed 6 shots in the third period, far and away the fewest allowed in any of the 3 periods. They outshot the Sabres, including the empty net, 11-6, 10-6 without that. So they played a much better third period after really maybe trying to find their legs for the first two.
Yeah, they were bad at the first 40. The Sabres were definitely the better team. And maybe that Kopitar goal on the opening shift, 13 seconds, that, and all of a sudden they look up, they're like, wow, you know, we've gotten totally dominated here, and we're tied. So, yeah. I mean, that had to be a little jolt for them.
And it was their first game of the season, too. The Sabres had 2 NHL games under their belt already from the regular season. I know they had almost a week between games, but the Kings maybe had to find some of that pace after 2 periods. And you're right, that early goal in the third might have been that momentum booster that kind of got them back into this game and helped them find the legs.
3-1 the final. Los Angeles beats Buffalo. We're going to, at this time, say goodbye to all of our local affiliate stations. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com, or you can listen in on the Odyssey app. When we come back, we'll hear from Lindy Ruff. We're going to keep it right here. Lindy Ruff is already weighed his mate at the podium. We will not break. Here we go, Lindy Ruff live.
We had numerous opportunities, even, you know, early on, shorthanded. If you look at the opportunities, the goal, the wraparound by McLeod, the, you know, kind of the paddle save on that. You know, in the third period, I think the Thompson one went through the legs at the post. Byram one hit the crossbar. We're not going to win like scoring one goal a game, but we played probably as close to our identity that we want throughout the whole game.
Did you get an explanation about the Zucker penalty?
I did not. I don't like that one. And the Samuelson is like hockey suicide, take a penalty like that, because our penalty killers have done an unbelievable job. That is just lack of composure for the group had played so well. The killing had been so good to that point. We have to learn from that one. We gotta sense that. Man, these guys are doing an unbelievable job. That's not on the officials. That's a good call.
You guys don't score on the power play, but what did you see in terms of the number of chances?
Well, again, a lot of really good chances. We really cleaned up our entries. You know, we worked hard on that the previous 3 days. You know, getting in the zone cleaner. There's so much good stuff, and I'm going to have to sit here and be pissed off about the end of the game.
What's the key to the start of the season? I mean, a 3-game segment wouldn't be a big deal otherwise, but to make sure that they're focusing on the process and playing to that identity and converting.
Yeah, about just converting, really. I mean, you look at the number of opportunities. We just got to convert. You know, we just feel we got guys that are going to convert. A little bit snake bit right now.
Yeah, on top of that, I mean, tough play from Dahlin right at the start of the third.
Yeah, yeah. Guy got under his stick, and it just – I don't know if I like their choice of the play they off the face-off win. You know, they're killing their back, and we're trying to up the middle play. But for me, it would have been – I would like to have seen him just take that pass out wide and get in the zone. So a little bit of a combination of why that ended up in our zone, too.
What allowed you to get to your identity?
We got back in a hurry. I thought we ended plays right away with physicality down low. There was a couple tired shifts where, you know, they got a little bit of momentum, but I thought we hunkered down, stayed inside. I mean, teams are going to have good. They're going to have They're going to have good shifts. They didn't have many of them. But getting back quick and being physical on that first guy and kind of ending the play right away allowed us to get out of the zone quick most of the night.
How do you talk about Greenway's effort tonight?
Penalty killing wise, I thought he was one of our top guys. Did an unbelievable job when it comes to that, and even 5-on-5, a couple of really good looks, 2-on-1. I like this game.
You guys feel snake that when Benson comes as close as he possibly can come to scoring a goal, it's like that's as close as you're going to come.
That's as close as you're going to come. Yeah.
I mean, do you almost feel snake bit?
I do feel snake bit for sure. There's no doubt. I mean, like, the Aubie Kubel play in Prague, the wraparound. I mean, it's going to go in. We continue to do the right things. The puck's going to go in the back of the net, or we're sending every goaltender we play to the All-Star game. One of the two. I don't know.
How do you get the guys to get out of their own heads? They were here last year, went through some of the bad things they went through. You weren't. How do you just make sure they don't get in their heads again?
That's my responsibility, because we worked extremely hard to get. We didn't play a very good game that second game in Prague, and we straightened out a lot of stuff. And I thought, to a man, it was a well-executed game. I thought the speed of our game was excellent. Our transition play was excellent. I'm going to break down a couple minutes that I'm not going to like. That's it. Thanks.
All right, that is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. As we bring it back up here to the press box, Brian Colziel, Pat Mellicaro with you. 3-1 Los Angeles. Lindy says, quote, "We just have to convert. Chances were there." I would agree. It is refreshing listening to Lindy. I do, from a long time ago, Pat, from when we got to listen to Lindy before here, when we first were working on the broadcast, mm-hmm. to listening to him back now. He's got a good sense of what I feel like we're all feeling here in terms of what to be upset about, what not to be upset about, what needs to be done. I think he's got a good grasp of that. I mean, tonight was probably an easy thing for all of us. You don't have to be an NHL coach maybe to see what happened tonight, but just in general, I feel like he's aware. He knows he's got work to do.
And the tone.
Yeah.
It wasn't an overreaction. It wasn't overly, angry or anything like that. Even on the plays that could have been better. You talk about, the Sabres committing the Samuelson penalty being what it was in the verbiage he used. But it wasn't in a way that was, so visceral, I guess I'll say it. It's just matter of fact. And so just the way that Lindy Ruff was delivering the message tonight post-game, I think, was another way in which you hear a different Lindy Ruff than maybe would have in the past, and really trying to, yes, make some critiques of how his team played, but also with the understanding that there's a lot of work that he has to help this team along to get victories.
3-1 the final. Kopitar, the hat trick. The Sabres stymied on a night that, they deserve to win. All right, well, now we're going to say goodbye to all of our local affiliates. We appreciate you sticking there through Lindy Ruff. Our next broadcast will be Saturday, 7 o'clock, against the Florida Panthers. We'll have it for you right here on the Sabres Radio Network. If you're listening on WGR on our flagship, more coming up here on the postgame. You can also keep listening, WGR550.com or on the Odyssey app. We'll get Paul Hamilton's take coming up. We'll get you highlights, stats, and scores. If you want to jump in, 803-0550 is the number here on the postgame. Home opener, good, but one goal. A loss, 3-1, Sabres are 0-3. Florida is next on Saturday. We'll be back with more from KeyBank Center. Thanks for listening. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Fiala trying to clear. Here's Byfield. Working a 2-on-1, potentially shot, saved, made by Luukkonen.
Pekka Luukkonen, one of his 19 saves. Our save of the game brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. Sabres fall 3-1. It was tied late. We go to a power play late in the third. Kings trying to take their first lead, and they get it. Kopitar, he wins it for L.A.
Greenway Almost able to get it outside the zone. LA work it back down low again. Here's Kopitar near circle. Side to side they go in the slot. Pump back to Kopitar off the iron and in. Anze Kopitar second of the game, and it's a power play marker.
Kopitar second of the game at 18-22. Power play goal. That was a 5-on-3. It turned into a 5-on-4 essentially as the goal scored, but in terms of the zone, it was really still 5-on-3. And the Kings win it there. Kopitar ends the empty netter to get his hat trick and a 3-1 victory. That's the goal of the game, brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. 3-1 Kings in front of a sellout here tonight at KeyBank Center, 19,070. The Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers will be in here on Saturday night at 7 o'clock. We'll have the Steve Foley Law pregame show starting at 6 p.m. Right here on Saturday night. Looking forward to that game and seeing the defending champions who, Pat, we know can score. And as Lindy Ruff said, I'll quote him. Well, I'll paraphrase him. He says, like, we're not going to win with one. And they've scored one, one, and one.
Yeah, something to keep an eye on. Alexander Barkov injured in the final couple of the moments of the game tonight. We'll have more about that in the update. But, yeah, a team that there's always a lot going on when the Sabres and the Panthers play. Matthew Tkachuk is seemingly in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. So not just the goals and a lot of that, but just a lot of just stuff happening over the course of those games.
If you're on hold, stick there. We'll get to some calls in a moment here at 803-0550. But first, let's get Paul Hamilton's take. We go down to the media room right outside the Sabres dressing room. Paul, this game was a much improved game for the Sabres in terms of the two in Prague. However, there's still just one next to the Sabre logo on the scoreboard. That is still the same, and that obviously has to get fixed.
Yeah, you get nothing for style points at all. I mean, it doesn't matter that you played well and that you played the way you're supposed to and that you were hard on pucks and that you cleared rebounds from in front of your net and you generated all sorts of chances and produced all sorts of turnovers and did exactly pretty much what you were supposed to do. But in the end, and Lindy Ruff's only been here for three games, but this is nothing new. We're watching from a can't-take-advantage-of-your-chances standpoint, and the opposing goalie always looks like Dominic Hasek, no matter who he is. I mean, they call up third- and fourth-string goalies that come in here and look like Dominic Hasek. It just happens time and time and time and time and time again. The Sabres were not able to acquire a top-six forward, a top-six forward that can help score goals. They needed it desperately, and they didn't get it. They, you know, Malenstein's a good pickup. I mean, they improved their team with the pickups that they got, but Kevin Adams has told us numerous times, these guys can score goals. Well, we watched all last year, and they couldn't score goals, and now the first three games this year, they can't score goals. I will reiterate what I've said for I don't know how long. I have never seen a team hit as many posts as this team does. I don't know how to get it stopped. I don't know what to tell you, but missing the net, missing posts, not bearing down on wide open nets, it just, but the fact remains is, you know, they made a goaltender look like Dominic Hasek again, a guy who's not that good, and they made him look great. And they do it night in and night out. And as I said, Lindy Ruff's only seen it for three times, but he's looked at film. He's watched games from last year. This team cannot score goals. It was, could not score goals last year. And I don't know where these goals are all of a sudden going to come from because they played really well, especially for two periods. Now, they made some dandy mistakes. I mean, Dalino, just a horrible play on the tying goal, 13 seconds into the third period. Well, that takes the air out of you right there. That's your captain. Your captain can't make a ridiculously bad play like that. That's a horrible turnover, and he can't make that play. And then, you know, you're killing a penalty, and Samuelson takes, you know, breaks the guy's stick. What are you doing?
What did he say, hockey suicide or something like that?
Yeah, what are you doing? That is just the dumbest penalty you can possibly take. You're already shorthanded. You've done a really nice job of killing penalties all game long. Samuelson is an excellent penalty killer, but what are you doing? I mean, just stupid plays, and there weren't many of them. I mean, but they wind up in the net,
And next thing you know, you played really well, but guess what? You came out with nothing. You know, they don't give you any points in the standings for how many chances you get, how many posts you hit, how many times you get back hard and break up plays. You don't get points in the standings for all that. It should lead to points in the standings, but since this team is so bad at scoring goals, it doesn't.
3-1 Kings victorious. Kopitar's hat trick leads the way. The only Sabre goal comes shorthanded when Tuck follows up his own breakaway and puts it in. That was the only time the Sabres were able to beat Kemper. But, Paul, you and I spoke after 20 minutes. We can go back to the first. You mentioned the posts. Thompson hits, Byram hits in the third. But we can go back to the first period. When they don't score on the 5-on-3, for having it for a minute nine, then McLeod somehow doesn't score on the wraparound, and then he gets a penalty shot and doesn't score. Cousins and Thompson's have great looks in front. Right there, I feel like you and I have had that feeling many times here over these last few seasons of, like, you can almost sense, like, they might have lost the game in that spot because of the fact that we just know how this plays out with this group. And it's sports, and we shouldn't be able to predict what's going to happen so easily like that, Paul.
Yeah,
but
you,
man,
and I knew exactly, like, what was going to happen.
Knew it. You could feel it right there.
There was just almost no question in my mind there they were going to lose this game, because eventually something for them is going to go in. It did. A horrible turnover by your captain, and it's in your net. And now you give them a gift 5-on-3, and it's in your net. A great play by Byfield, by the way, to take Lukanen's eyes away from him. He didn't see the puck coming. And Kopitar's not going to miss that. So, you know, it's just but the fact remains, that was not a good goalie they faced. He is not a good goalie, period. And they made him look like, as Lindy Ruff said, we're either going to start scoring goals or we're going to send 82 goalies to the All-Star game. Well, they sent a lot of goalies to the All-Star game last year, and a lot of them weren't great goalies. And I don't know what to tell you, because I don't know how to get it better, because I've watched it now for a full season plus three.
Paul, it's one more thought here. How about the power play? 0 of 5 tonight. They're 0 for the season. That tonight obviously was the most opportunities they've had so far here, including a 5-on-3 situation there. Did it look better to you?
It did. But one power play goal could have made a difference in that game. Because if you get a second goal, now the one you gave up, you gave a goal away in the 13 seconds of the third period, but then it's only 2-1. You know, and it's not so bad now. You still got the lead. And, you know, here's another game, though. Here we are again. We haven't even talked about this. Another game where you got no loser points. You came into the third period absolutely dominating, and had a one-goal lead. Most teams that come into the third period with a one-goal lead win the game. So you had that, and you got no points. They once again cannot get a game to overtime, and because they take a silly penalty while killing a penalty, and now you get no points because you couldn't get a game to overtime.
All right, Paul. Well, the defending Stanley Cup champions come in here Saturday, and they just lost, scoring one goal tonight to Ottawa.
They'll be delighted
3-1.
When they get here.
So, yeah, I mean. We know Florida's excellent. They won the Cup for a reason. So on paper, it's not going to get easier for Buffalo on Saturday.
No, certainly is not. And, you know, you can, you know, there, as Lindy Ruff said, there's going to be a lot of things that he's going to like when he looks at the film. And there's going to be just a couple of minutes that's really going to make him mad. And, you know, and it was, the game looked so promising for Darlene to start. I thought Darlene was really jumping. And that first period, he made a hit. He was into the offensive zone. He was jumping. He was moving. Everything looked great. But he is supposed to be an elite player. He is supposed to be one of the best two or three defensemen in the National Hockey League. And he's not even close. And he's good. He hasn't been good this year. But for the most part, he's good. But your captain and your best defenseman cannot make that play, period. And it lost you a hockey game.
Paul, thank you for your work tonight. We will talk to you on the pregame show on Saturday.
Okay.
All right, Paul Hamilton with us there. Again, our Steve Foley Law pregame show starting at 6 o'clock Saturday, Sabres and Panthers at 7. All right, calls coming up here in just one moment. Our final stats brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Shots end up 33-22 in favor of Buffalo. As we mentioned, the power play heavily one-sided. Poor for the Sabres, and the opportunities were there.
Each team had five power plays on the night.
Kings got one, Sabres got zero.
And that's the difference with the empty net goal in the game tonight.
Dynabrade.com power play update, powered by Dynabrade Tools, proudly made here in Buffalo. All right, let's grab some calls here. Let's go to Drew first on the post game. Hi, Drew, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going? I just think that this team is just not good. You're scoring one goal a game. And I walked out of this game really angry. And a lot of people saw my frustration. And it wasn't – a lot of people told me, oh, it's just one game. It's no big deal. It's not just one game. They lost three games. They scored one goal each in three games. This team is not winning anything. They're not good. They have 79 games to go still. It's not – nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to change. This team – it's not just three games either. It's 15 years of mediocrity, a terrible team, a joke of a franchise. I don't know what to blame. I want to boo the team. I feel bad for the players. I don't feel bad anymore. This team is a joke. That's all I got to say.
Thank you, Drew.
Yes. I think that call is very emblematic, Brian, of a lot of fan sentiment right now. Maybe not the same language or words, but even though it's only three games, and yes, they have 79 more to play, and they have many more points left on the table that they have in front of them, it's not just three games.
And that is, I think, what Paul keeps saying. He's like, Lindy's only seen this for three. But he's like, these players have been a part of it for more. Drew is saying, I've been seeing this for years. You and I have been broadcasting these games for 16, 17 right. seasons now, where most of them have felt like this.
And I get it. It's not fair. It's not
right.
fair to this roster to have to burden the 13 years without the playoffs. But it is a fact.
Yes.
And that inevitably is part of the conversation when you start the year with one goal in each of the three games and you have no points to show for it. Is you just, as a fan base, you want something to show you that this year is going to be different. And if you come out tonight and you score two or three goals in the first period – and you take this game
like they should have.
Right. You take a stranglehold of this game and the Kings don't even compete. Then you're saying, well, Europe was two games.
Right.
This is the Sabres team we expect. They're going to use this as a way to springboard forward. And instead, you're sitting here saying, I've seen this story before play out so many times. Not fair to this roster, but it's the facts.
When Lindy Ruff was brought in, and when Lindy Ruff, you know, kind of we saw in the preseason maybe kind of what the energy and the drive to the net and all these sort of tendencies that Lindy Ruff wants this team to look like, and we saw it in the preseason, and we know that there was never an NHL versus NHL essentially game in the preseason, so judging those maybe isn't the best thing to do, but we saw signs of what Lindy Ruff wants this team to do. Tonight was really the first night that we, I think, saw it. I don't think in the games in Prague we really saw it very much. To the point where, Pat, you could sit there and say they deserved any points in the game. Mm-hmm. Tonight, they deserve points in the game. They earned it themselves, but they found a way not to win because they scored one. And they created those opportunities but didn't convert, which gets us back to now the conversation of years and years piling on of them finding ways to not convert their opportunities. So I sense Drew's frustration for sure. All right, let's take another call here. Brian Colesio, Pat Mellicaro on the postgame. Kings win 3-1. Rich is with us next here. Hi, Rich. Go ahead. You're on the postgame.
Hey, guys. I've been hearing a lot over the past couple minutes about everybody makes these goalies look amazing. When are we going to take accountability for us never making any changes and being okay with mediocrity and thinking something is going to change on our end? Because clearly it isn't.
Well, I think there were some changes made, and obviously in terms of the scoring – not enough. I mean, Paul said it, Pat, about not addressing any scoring in the top six. So far, through three games, if you want to make a statement about through three games, it's bitten them. Mm-hmm. I think lines 3 and 4, I think Kevin Adams did a good job revamping them from what it was. However, a huge piece of why they didn't win last year was their inability to score. They wasted a year of outstanding goaltending from Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. They lost a lot of games like this. They lost a lot of 2-1 games and 3-2 games. They lost a lot of games where they couldn't score on the power play, a lot of games just like this. And in terms of adding or changing that, there was only a subtraction of Jeff Skinner, which, again, we could argue whether there's some good or some bad, whatever. But there was no addition to, I think, help in those areas. And that, to me, still is a glaring storyline as we start this season.
And I think you're banking on the fact that, yes, you have a more rounded 12 forwards on the ice, so having a fourth line that's tougher to play against, wearing the other team down, that can play against not just another team's fourth line, but the lines above them as well, is part of the conversation. And also your expectation that the guys like Tage Thompson, Dylan Cousins, you know, Jack Quinn being back on this roster for potentially a full season, they're going to pick up a lot of those 25 to 30 goals that you're losing from Jeff Skinner. But I don't think there's any question that it would be a nice luxury, something very nice to have, if you could have replaced goal for goal, you know, on paper, a 25 to 30 goal score in Jeff Skinner with another 25 to 30 goal score to add to this roster for this year. And, you know, is it something you can add throughout the course of the season? Potentially, but it would have been nice if you're talking about a well-balanced roster with another scoring threat at the top of the top six.
Yes, I mean, the thought is, well, Jack Quinn being healthy is going to replace the goals that Skinner scored and then maybe provide also some better play on the other side. Okay, but, you know, he hasn't scored yet. There's players, obviously. Like, I look at Thompson, and to me, the breakdown of his season so far, I think Thompson played those games in New Jersey fairly well in the sense that he provided opportunities to score, but again, he had space against Markstrom, fires it wide, had space against Jake Allen, fires it wide. Tonight, has some looks, he walks in, misses early in the second period. In the third, he hits the post. Like, I want to give him credit because he's noticeable. He's active. He's creating these chances. But ultimately, for a guy that almost scored 50 goals 2 years ago and he's getting paid to score like that, at some point, again, the results do matter and they're not there for him.
And J.J. Paterka is a large part of this conversation now. He's not in the lineup right now. And you know, could he be back very soon? Yes. And will he be a big part of this offense? Yes. But again, you're relying on the players that are already on your roster to pick up the slack for the subtraction without making a full addition. And I readily understand, too. It's not as easy as, well, we want to go get a 25-30 goal score. We're just going to go get one. You've got to find whether it's, you know, a first-round pick and a prospect, you know, whatever. You're probably going to have to acquire that player in a trade the way that the NHL works for the most part. You've got to find somebody that wants your trade pieces, too, for the player they're giving up. And I think the trade to get Ryan McLeod was a very good one for Kevin Adams. And that was one move in the offseason. But to go get a dynamic player to help fill out your top six is going to cost you a lot, and you've got to find a team that is willing to take on what you're willing to give up.
3-1 Kings victorious. The Sabres are 0-3. Florida is here Saturday at 7 o'clock at KeyBank Center. If you're listening in your car on your way home, we appreciate it. Your drive home from the game brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet, with you for the extra mile. All right, a couple of more calls here, and then we'll get the scoreboard in. Nick is with us next here. Hi, Nick. Go ahead. You're on the post game.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just feel like we've seen this team for the past couple of years now, and Kevin Adams hasn't really addressed the issue. Like, we've had Thompson get those goals, and Cousins get those goals, but it was only during 1 year, and we signed those players a big contract, and we've only seen it for 1 year. And now we tried to develop, you know, the third and fourth lines, and it's not working. Right now, it's like, Kevin Adams, you're the guy, and you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. I think he should be gone. And I know we're trying to be like, hey, it's only three games, but it's not happening. It hasn't happened over the past two seasons now. Something needs to really happen. Big changes need to happen. It hasn't happened over the past two seasons.
All right, Nick, thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, Kevin Adams put a lot of eggs in the basket of signing Thompson to the long-term contract, Dylan Cousins to the long-term contract. He's got faith in the young players like Jack Quinn, like J.J. Paterka, that they're going to score. Obviously, Paterka didn't play tonight, but those are the guys that he's hoping figure it out. We talked a lot about Pat in the offseason about these guys falling back. Alex Tuck fell back in the goal department. Cousins way back in the goal department. Thompson's back in the goal department. He's hoping that this year that their new style of play, the new coach, all that sort of thing, the vibes are going to be better. So far, again, through three games, and this is what's tough. It's three. Alex Tuck said there's 79 to go, but fans are still thinking essentially like this is just picking up right where we left off from last season. It feels like more than three.
Yeah, and I will say a part of this also I think is a lot of the front office shakeups that have happened in short order. You can't react to previous situations all the time, but I do think whether it's changing head coach as frequently as the team did for a pocket there, changing the general manager over several times in a short window, you don't have the ability to really get that identity. And for better or worse, I want to see how this plays out for Kevin Adams over the long term. You're talking, to me, at least a five-year window for a general manager to even get a sense of if they've been able to put that imprint on a team that can be successful. And again, I understand 13 years without the playoffs, there's a lot that goes into it, but when you continue to change things over as much as some franchises, the Sabres did in the 2010s to now to this decade as well, that's so much a part of the conversation, I think, is you don't get to establish that identity that I think is really needed to give Kevin Adams the full picture of, is he able to put a winning product on the ice? It takes several years, and I know that's it's hard to talk about, but I think that really is something that you have to take into account.
Bruce is next with us here on the postgame show. Hi, Bruce. Go ahead.
Guys, I got three things really quick. First thing is, I know we outshot them tonight. That's all well and good. That's awesome on stats. I see absolutely nobody going to the front of the net when these shots are going in. I mean, a goalie can stand back there all night long and just pick them off. And the power play, how many? You know, we had five power plays tonight. All I did was see a guy skating up really fast, stop at their blue line, and pass it off to somebody to try to get into the zone. That's not going to get it. And the third thing is, if these young guys don't know who our coach is, if you don't start putting out, you're not going to be around very long. That's my opinion, because
all right, Bruce.
Lindy is an old school coach. You know?
Yep, I agree, and I think we will see guys lose some ice time here if it doesn't go that way.
That's the appeal, right? That's the appeal of bringing in Lindy Ruff, whether or not he coached the team in the past. You know what you're getting from him.
Yeah, I think that'll change. I think you'll see it. I mean, I don't think you're going to see it after tonight's game, but I think there's also a difference between Lindy being happy with how they played and the result not being what he wants and now trying to figure out, like, tonight feels different in the sense that, you know, and this might sound silly, like, they scored one, they lost again. Like, I get it. You might say, nothing changed. Well, tonight, from my eyes being in Prague and watching those two games and my eyes watching tonight's game, definitely seemed like a different game. This was the team, especially for the first 40 minutes, that I expected to look like a Lindy Ruff team, Pat. Mm-hmm. The not converting looks like the same old team. And that, you know, goes back to the conversation probably that we're all trying to debate is, well, does that now go on the composition of the makeup of these guys? And just are these guys, this is just who they are, which then goes on a personnel side of things, which maybe shifts more to the GM than the coach, whether or not it was Don Granato or whether it was Lindy Ruff.
Yeah, and I also, you know, something we talked about after 40 minutes, it wasn't just the forwards active in the play. It was the defense corps as well. They had some confidence. You saw Owen Power down below the goal line a couple of times. You saw the passing from the blue line. Bowen Byram had one of those opportunities in the third period. He's going to be relied upon to be one of your difference makers at both ends of the ice. So you talk about a young defense corps that young in age but not in games that can be active and can play at two ends of the ice. But it's got to result in goals. It's got to start resulting in victories because, you know, as we talked about, yes, there's 79 games to go, but you also can't put yourself in so deep of a hole that you're always trying to claw your way out of it and just keep chasing points week after week after week. At some point, it just gets away from you.
So Florida is next. Before we get you set for that game, we're going to finish here with the scoreboard as we go one more time around the league with Pat.
Thanks, Brian. It's brought to you by Figo Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys. Late stages of the third period, the Penguins doubling up the Red Wings 6-3. Anthony Beauvillier, a pair of goals for Pittsburgh in that contest. Again, Penguins on their way to a 6-3 win, a minute and change to go in the third in Detroit. No score tonight. Macklin Celebrini making his NHL debut for the Sharks as they're hosting the Blues 5 minutes in, scoreless. Everything else is a final. The Bruins 6-4 winners over the Canadiens. Jeremy Swayman, his first game since the contract extension, gets the win for Boston tonight. While the Senators 3-1 winners over the Sabres' next opponent, the Panthers, something to keep a note of. On an empty net goal at the end of the game, Alexander Barkov crashing into the boards, leaving with an apparent injury, had to be helped by teammates off the ice. And we'll be monitoring that over the next 36 hours. Maple Leafs doubling up the Devils 4-2. Toronto notches their first win of the season. Utah Hockey Club is 2-0. Their first overtime game as a franchise. 5-4 victory over the Islanders. Stars 4-3 winners over Nashville despite 2 third period goals by the Predators. The Wild 3-2 winners over the Blue Jackets as well. Also, both games in the American League Divisional Series have gone final. The Yankees are moving on. New York 3-1 winners over the Royals. They await the winner of Game 5 Saturday night between the Guardians and the Tigers. A 2-run pinch-hit home run by David Fry sends the Guardians to a 5-4 win over Detroit. They'll face Tarik Skubal on Saturday night. A good matchup just down the road in Cleveland again. Game 5, the winner to face the Yankees in the League Championship Series on the Junior Circuit. And to the NFL, Week 6 is underway in Seattle tonight. NFC West matchup between the 49ers and the Seahawks. San Francisco 23-17 leaders. Despite 14 third quarter points by the Seahawks, they continue to trail by 6. 49ers with the football, 9:38 to go in the fourth quarter, and a chance to make it a two-score game, Brian.
All right. Busy night in sports. Looking forward to maybe catching some of it here on the backside. Yeah, Florida is in here on Saturday. They, as you mentioned, they scoring just one tonight in a loss at Ottawa. We'll have to keep an eye on that Barkov injury situation and whether or not he'll be in the lineup or not for Florida. Bobrovsky played in goal. We'll see if he goes back-to-back. All right, well, I'll leave you with this question here. Is it Levi or is it Lukanen on Saturday?
I want to see Ukko-Pekka Lukanen.
Okay.
I do. I want to see him come back after tonight. It wasn't overly challenged, and I think if he's going to be your number one, I don't need, you know, one game on, one game off, especially this early in the season, not a back-to-back situation. I'd go right back to Ukko-Pekka Lukanen. Not saying anything against Devon Levi, but that's just the way I do it.
Next week, the Sabres have a 3-game road trip, 3-4, with a back-to-back games on Wednesday in Pittsburgh and Thursday in Columbus. So it would naturally set up that you could get Levi in next week right away on that road trip.
Yeah, so you've got plenty of opportunities to do that next week. And I think for Lukanen, just an opportunity to see, as a number one, shouldering the load early in the season, managing the workload, but also giving him that opportunity as well.
All right. So again, our Steve Foley Law pregame will be Saturday at 6 o'clock. Pat, myself, Paul Hamilton will be along the way with you here on the Sabres Radio Network and our flagship station, WGR. Well, a result tonight, similar to the others, one goal and a loss for Buffalo, despite the fact that for 40 minutes they dominated the Kings, but no results to show for it. An 0-3 start to the year, and the Sabres will try to get their first win on Saturday against the Panthers here at home. That'll put a wrap on our postgame. Want to thank our crew tonight. TJ Luckman, our network producer, back in our Amherst studios. Thank you, TJ. Tom Matty, our engineer. Paul Hamilton, our reporter. Pat Molicaro, our anchor. And, of course, Schopel the Bulldog on the pregame. And our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. I'm Brian Colziel. Thank you for listening. Again, the final here from KeyBank Center. Los Angeles 3, Buffalo 1. We will talk to you Saturday, Sabres and Panthers. Game 4 of the year, right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.